Always have to tip your hat to modern medicine, don't you? Just think about the vaccines available to combat COVID-19. Think about the technology that's used each and every day in hospitals around the world.
We rely on them so much, we have to be so thankful. And then there's this story from the US where a gentleman by the name of David Bennett, a senior, has become the first person in the world to have the heart of a genetically modified pig transplanted into his body.
Yeah, you heard that right. Genetically modified pig transplanted to his body. It is extraordinary. The operation happened earlier this month, but guess what? There's a Brisbane connection to all this. Professor John Fraser can explain. He's a director of the Critical Care Research Group. He's also the head of the intensive care unit at St Andrew's War Memorial Hospital. Professor, good morning to you.
Morning, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. What is the link between the work you've been involved with and this incredible transplant operation?
Well, we've been working on heart transplants to try and improve the outcome and the number of hearts that can be transplanted, probably for about 4.5 years here in our lab in Brisbane, working with a fantastic Queenslander called David McGiffin, who did the first ever heart transplant in Queensland about 30 years ago. Yeah. David has been a rock star in the States and came back and is working with our group. So we know that probably 50 or 60% of hearts that are offered up for donation can't be used, and we know that more and more people need a heart transplant. So we had started on a different path, looking at how we can make human hearts more usable, how we could reboot a human heart that was not able to be transplanted. Because one of the saddest things in intensive care is if when you get a donor who's a family of a donor who's so incredibly kind and offering us the organs of their loved ones at a really dark, dark time, that sometimes we have to say, no, the organ is not usable. So we had gone into our lab and thought the way that we transplant medicine has changed a huge amount over the 30 years that David's been doing it. But one of the things that hasn't changed is the way we transfer the donor heart from the hospital in, let's say, Mount Isa to Brisbane. It basically gets put in a bag of ice, put in an esky, and then we go as quickly as possible from hospital A to hospital B, because the heart is a living muscle. And as it's in that ice, it's not getting oxygen, it's not getting blood, it's not getting cleaned out. So the heart becomes dysfunctional. So we had thought we could make the heart work better if we put it on a rig. And we worked with a company in Sweden to work with this rig to see if this damaged heart could be rebooted. Could we mend the broken heart on the trip back from Mount Isa or Perth to Brisbane? We spent 4 years, probably 55, 60,000 hours, a team of 80 of us, to work on this, and we got the heart working much, much better once it was put on this rig, once it was perfused, once it was given, I call it medical Gatorade.
Yeah.
The heart worked so much better, and we could transplant it even after 7 hours, which was phenomenal. And the American team, Bart and his team, have been involved in watching some of that research and helping a little bit some of the human work as well. So their team has done an amazing job here, and we wouldn't take any of the credit. But what they did was, when they started in their own lab, they started, obviously, before they put the pig's heart into the human, they practiced with pig to baboon. And they'd done all the genetics, and the genetics worked beautifully. But when the heart went from the pig to baboon in the trials, despite the genetics being perfect, it wouldn't work. So they tried again and again, and it still wouldn't work. So they went back to the drawing board and remembered what we were doing with our rig, and how we had managed to reboot this broken heart. And they thought, well, perhaps if we use the rig that the Brisbane group are using, that might help. So then they did pig onto the rig and into the baboon, and it worked.
Wow.
And they did this several times. So this was something that allowed it to happen. And then when they went to the human transplant, they went pig onto the rig and into the human, and all credit to his team, it worked. So it's an important, it's a small step, but this is the great thing about medicine. You know, it's their success and we applaud them, but it's great that something that we were doing here helped them.
One thing, what is it about the pig's heart? Why a pig's heart into a human?
It's not dissimilar. The pig's heart is not dissimilar. The heart's an amazing organ, but it's essentially a bag of muscle. It's a muscle pump. And the pump in the pig is not dissimilar, in the same way the sheep's heart is not dissimilar. We for many years we've been using valves from pigs and cows. Mm. They go in, so we've been using them for a while, because again, the valve from a pig and the valve from a cow is not dissimilar from a human. But when we use a valve, It's not a living, breathing piece of muscle, and we coat it in glutaraldehyde so that the body doesn't reject it as foreign. This is where the brilliant geneticists are the key to this whole success. They switched off the genes from the pig heart so that the human thinks it's its own. Okay. Otherwise, we would just reject it immediately.
Yeah. It is just extraordinary. Professor John Fraser is with you talking about this transplant operation in the States. There's a link back to Brisbane, as you've just heard. It's 18 past 7 on this Thursday. Professor, I know you wear a few different hats, and this has just been one of them. You're at the moment also leading up the COVID critical care program that's been gathering ICU data from across the world. You're about to jump on a plane to Dubai to speak about it at the World Expo. What's your message there going to be?
Look, you know, I was thinking as I was just joining the call, I guess the message here is that we started this COVID critical because our friends in intensive cares across the world were doing it blooming hard for the last 2 years. We wanted to help, but we didn't have COVID here, thankfully, in Brisbane. But what we thought we could do is bring the data together. So the data was not really being gathered, and it's a little bit like a million scattered jigsaw puzzle pieces. So we said, if we can bring this together. So what we ended up doing every week for the last 2 years, it's pretty exhausting, was meeting, gathering data, getting 54 countries. So we've now got about 40 million data pieces to give us data to guide what happens in intensive care. So I guess the similarity between this and the transplant is that, you know, medicine works really well together. You know, if we bring data from across the world together, we can actually start to find the answers. And then the same in the pig to the human heart transplant. If people work together and they share secrets, I guess, then patients can benefit. So I'll be going across to the World Expo as the Australian representative, talking about innovation at the speed of light. And as Loretta was saying at the kickoff, that is medicine. We're very fortunate here in Queensland. You know, the great Paul Young's group that did the vaccine, which is amazing science. You know, innovation is what will get us through this pandemic and what will get us through heart disease, which is an even bigger pandemic.
And do you think in the future, I mean, we're seeing some COVID patients in ICU, of course, the way we treat those patients, is that likely to change or get better, or maybe we won't need to put people into ICU for COVID?
D, all of the above. You know, because of the vaccine, we've managed, you know, the intensive care across Queensland, my colleague James Winerles is getting it tough down the Gold Coast. But the number of patients in intensive care now is vanishingly small compared to what it was before the vaccine. And again, as Craig said, you know, it took 220 days to get the Pfizer vaccine from trial to be used. That's phenomenal. That is innovation at the speed of light. So less and less people will need to come. We're getting oral treatments for COVID. But the key to it all, I guess, is everyone working together, sharing together. You know, our politicians in Queensland have done pretty well, but across the world there's been some pretty shabby politics where politics got in the way of people's lives. And I don't think medics think like that. You know, we share data every week, whether you're from China, New York, Rwanda. We were on a call every single week sharing this data, and that was really edifying. It kind of made me proud to be a medic.
Definitely.
Well, so proud of the work that you are doing, Professor John Fraser. Thanks for sharing a little bit of it with us this morning on ABC Radio Brisbane.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks, Loretta.
And John Fraser, the Director of the Critical Care Research Group and also the Head of the Intensive Care Unit at St Andrew's War Memorial Hospital.